Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless you on this blessed Wednesday. This is Brother Nate with the Church of Christ Alive, the message on the broadcast entitled Jesus' Word, the Midnight Cry Broadcast. The phone number is 515-605-9887. That's 515-605-9887. If you're having a prayer request, I pray with you. Having a question about the lesson, I do my best in the Lord Jesus to answer for you. If you have any comments, I ask that you limit it to a minute and a half to 2 minutes. And if you call and get information on how to obtain a copy of the messages the Lord been sending through his angel messenger, we will get that to you as well. For those of you that don't like giving your prayer requests or your comments over the air, contact us at NathanielHunt1971@gmail.com. That's NathanielHunt1971@gmail.com. Once again, we will get back to you. Amen. So, without further ado, for those of you listening at the 7 o'clock hour, won't you join in with me in prayer? Let us pray. Most gracious God, we are grateful for this day that you have blessed us to see and an opportunity you've given us to petition you once again. We're grateful for the Spirit of the living God, that is your Spirit that releases understanding about the Word of God. It is your Spirit that is the Spirit of truth, that gives the real truth, that leads a man into the place where there will be pleasing unto you, and a place where a man could worship and give you glory. Tonight, dear Lord, I pray that your Spirit will be with us. Lord God, as we go into the very Word of God this day, Father, we pray that you will minister to us. And I pray personally that you will grant me the understanding and wisdom to lead such a great people unto you. So, Lord, I praise you. I magnify you because you're worthy to be praised. In Jesus' name, amen. Glory be to God. Today, tonight, we are on another new series. And I want to, first off, before we get into this, because the way it looks, this may be just a part one tonight. But I want to say to those of you that are first-time listeners, or if you've been listening all along and I have failed to mention this part that I'm about to mention, the page that you're listening to me on, if you see the follow button, click on it. And it asks for your email information. And when you give your email information, the purpose of that is that whenever we do a broadcast, you will be automatically alerted. So why don't you hit that follow button so you can be automatically alerted whenever we do a broadcast. Now, I've said this before. Our primary time that we come on nightly is 7 p.m. However, there have been times, possibly in the future, maybe some more times where that broadcast may have to be done a little earlier. I have done a 4:30 broadcast, a 5:30, and a 5 in the morning broadcast. Sometimes things come up and might have to do some early broadcast. So I want to encourage you all to hit that follow button. So whenever a broadcast is done, you will be automatically alerted. And I also want to say that not only possibly this series, but in, you know, series to come. Those of you that follow us on Blog Talk Radio already know this, that we go into the three books of the Bible, which many of you are familiar with. But there are two other books that the Lord has caused to come forward called The Record of Nephi, which is an account of the people that lived on this continent during prehistoric times. When the Lord dealt with them as well, giving them his commandments, his statutes, and judgments. And then there's the Word of the Lord, which is a book of messages the Lord been sending through his angel messenger, the Elijah, as he promised in Matthew 17, Malachi chapter 3 and 4, Acts chapter 3, Revelation chapter 14 and 6, and Deuteronomy 18 and 18. And so if you want the Record of Nephi book, which is $8, and a copy of the Messages, which is 75 cents per dozen, you can write the Church of Christ, the Lies of Message, 608 Lacey Road, Independence, Missouri, 64050. That is the Church of Christ with the Eliza Message, 608 Lacey Road, Independence, Missouri, 64050. Or you can call 1-800-752-1507. That's 1-800-752-1507. And if you don't get no one at that number, dial area code 816-252-2343. Area code 816-252-2343. Now, tonight, as I said, there is a new series that we will be looking at tonight. It's one of three different series that I've been dealing with. This is one of them. And amen. And I want to open up with a foundation scripture, book of Acts chapter 13. So if you have your Bibles, let us turn to the book of Acts chapter 13, the book of Acts chapter 13, the book of Acts chapter 13. And I'm going to read verses 1 and 2. The book of Acts chapter 13, verses 1 and 2. The book of Acts chapter 13, verses 1 and 2. The word of God says, "Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simon that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost says, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." Now, when it comes to being appointed to a particular purpose or work and office of the Lord has to be the one doing the calling. The Lord has to be the one doing the calling. Not only calling you to the work, but calling you to what specific office that he wants you in. Not you or me or anyone else or whatever church you belong to feel like that they wants to appoint you to a certain position. And here's the other thing. When the Lord calls you for a specific purpose and he calls you to an office, it has to be an office that he set up. You understand that? Many churches have come up with these positions that has no scripture backup. Now, tonight, I want to deal with, once again, a particular church called itself the Latter-day Saints. And I know some of you saying, here we go again. You must really hate these people. No, I don't hate these people. I love them with the love of God. But one of the reasons why you keep hearing me speak out concerning the things that the Mormons come with is, number one, when you are telling people that you are the church, you are the church of Jesus Christ, you are the restored church, you are the church that is example from the scriptures, and you putting out all this teachings that's contrary to the word of God, that, for example, you can just take the Bible alone and you hear what they teach and you'll say, what? You'll be like, where did that come from? And you hear them pass it off to say Jesus or God is support of it. And This work of restitution and restoration that we have been sharing with you guys is real. And when you have a, quote, church or a particular group who claims to be of that work and telling people all over the world, and this group operating in ungodliness and their doctrines are ungodly, then as a Christian, not only for me but other Christians, I believe that it's our due diligence to stand and contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. It is to us to stand and speak the word of truth to the people and not sit back and just let souls be misled. Now, the Lord said through his angel messenger in the very first message that Jesus sent through his angel, he said, the blood of this generation will be required at the hands of those that profess Christ. Too many Christians are playing the hiding game. And too many Christians are listening and watching other souls be led to hell by these ungodly teachings, okay, and ungodly acts. And have said, even said words like, well, that's not my business. Well, the Lord said, you're going to be held accountable. The blood of this generation will be required at your hands. If you profess to be a Christian, guess what? The blood of this generation is required at your hand. Now, you cannot make anyone obey God. Let's get that out of the way first. But at least you can warn them. And when you sit there with your mouth closed and knowing that you're hearing someone lead that soul that's leading them to hell, and you sit back and just say nothing, and you think that it ain't my business, especially when you have people teaching stuff that they're passing over to say, this comes from God. And especially when you, Christian listener, know better. Amen. And what has happened is that Satan has been able to work in a greater way through man to lead many souls astray because many of the souls don't know the word of God. They don't know it. I'm talking about even some that are in the Christian community don't know the word of God and do not even pursue to study the word of God. You have some that's out there who's riding on their own strength, who have said to themselves and possibly others that I'm a Christian and ain't nothing that's going to make me turn against God. And they say that with chest poked out and nose in the air. And at the same time, not equipping themselves with the word that's going to help them come through whatever they face. So what they're doing is they're relying upon their own strength and thinking that they don't have to study the word of God or meditate on the word of God or seek the word of God or even spend time in prayer with Christ, thinking that they don't have to do these things because I'm a Christian now and nothing's going to turn me away. Well, some have already been turned away, people, because they have relied upon their own strength and not the strength of the Lord, and therefore have become overtaken by the enemy and his schemes, his plans, his tricks. They've been overtaken and led astray. Now, as I gave this foundation scripture, as I said before, when it comes to callings, dealing with the work of the Lord, number one, you have to make sure that it is the Lord that called you to do the specific work that you're talking about. And number two, You got to understand that if he call you, especially to an office, it has to be an office that he has already set up, okay? He is not leaving in your hands or my hands to make up an office, quote, just to serve him. Now, I want to read to you off a couple of things. And like I told you, this the way things look, this may be a part one tonight. But the Mormon Church, who claims to be the restored church, who claims to be Christ's church, and have had people to even go as far to say that they are a Christian organization, has some offices in the church that they call to be the Restored Church of Christ, the church, the same ones who said that in order for you to reach, quote, godhood, you have to come through them and their temple. You understand that? Glory. I want to read to you a little bit from an article that is titled Offices of the Melchizedek Priesthood under understandingmormonism.org. Now, I want to read to you a list of some offices they have in their church. On this website, it says, in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, the Mormon Church, the Melchizedek priesthood holds the authority over spiritual ordinances and blessings, as well as the rights of presidency and the governance of the church. Elders is an office in the Melchizedek or higher priesthood. The term elder is also used as a title by general authorities and male missionaries. Elders may perform all the duties of the Aaronic priesthood, including baptizing, ministering, and passing the sacrament. They can also confirm those who have been baptized and confer the gift of the Holy Ghost by the laying on of hands. Elders may conduct meetings and preach the gospel of Christ among the nations. Now, the next office, and this is one is especially very interesting, in the Mormon Church is called the High Priest. Ordinations to the office of High Priest comes when a man is called into a bishopric or state presidency, or is called a mission president, high counselor, patriarch, or similar calling of authority. High Priest can perform all the duties of elders. So they got an elder in the church, office of an elder, and they got a high priest in the church. And they have said that a man is ordained to the office of a high priest when he's called to a bishopric or a state presidency. Another office they got called patriarch. Patriarch. The term patriarch can be used three ways within the church to refer to an ancient prophet such as Abraham, to refer to a father who is the head of his family, and to refer to the ordained office within the Melchizedek priesthood. They are sometimes known as evangelists. Sometimes. This is what it said here in the article. They are sometimes. So in other words, they said they're not always known as evangelists. They are sometimes known as evangelists. Patriarchs are typically ordained on a stake level. On a stake level. Wow. So, you know, what is a stake level? Well, according to in the Mormon Church, a stake is a minister unit composed of multiple congregations or wards. A stake may be compared to a deity in the Roman Catholic Church. The name stake derived from the metaphor employed by Isaiah, comparing Zion to a tent fastened securely by stakes. So a stake is an administrative unit composed of multiple congregation or wards. So when it says here that A patriarch is ordained on a state level. I guess that will deal with they over certain congregations or multiple congregations. There go the word state. They have authority to give special blessings, known as patriotic blessings, wow, to worthy members of the Mormon Church. Patriarchs are bestowed with special prophetic insight that allows them to give blessings that speak of a person's future life as well as their premortal life. Now, when you listen to that, and some of you are, you know, being familiar with the Bible and things like that, you would say, well, wouldn't that be a prophet? Then they have another couple of offices. One is apostles and the other is presidents. President, office of a president in the church. Wow. Another article under Understanding Mormonism called Mormon Priesthood, okay? Mormon Priesthood. And in this article here, it talks about even other, the example, it gives another one, office that hasn't been mentioned. It said there are five offices in the Melchizedek priesthood: elder, high priest, patriarch, 70, and apostle. Now, in the other article, there was apostles and presidents, okay? So they got all these different kind of offices floating around in the church. They go on to say an apostle is the highest, and I want you to hear this, an apostle is the highest office in the Melchizedek priesthood and in the Mormon church. Now listen to this. Apostles are usually chosen from existing 70s. They are special witnesses of Jesus Christ who hold all the keys of the kingdom to officiate in all responsibilities and duties of the priesthood. Some of those duties include having the sealing power and the power to act as a prophet, seer, and revelator. The president of the church, the senior apostle, the senior apostle is called the president of the church. Wow. Also serves as the president of the Melchizedek priesthood. According to Mormon doctrine, he is the only person in whom all the keys, powers, and authority are fully functioning and active. Wow. See, so they said that the apostle is normally chosen from the existing 70. The 70 is one of their five offices that they mentioned. And the other article, I read to you how they mentioned that there's the president. And from what we understand here, the senior apostle is known as the president of the church. Now, one thing I want to say is that they said an apostle is normally chosen from existing 70s, okay? See, they doing the choosing. Now, we read in our opening scripture that the Lord, and see what the Lord, what I read to you about Barnabas and Saul being called, here is where they were being called to the office of an apostle. And it wasn't nothing that the other men that was around them say, hey, we're going to select Barnabas and Saul to be apostles. This ain't nothing about somebody rolling dice or flipping a card or something like that. Say, who should we pick and all this stuff. This was nothing about that. Amen? And see, this is what you see, and that's why I said, when you're claiming to be the true church and the restored church of Christ and claiming that to the people, they have to come through Mormon and through the temple to become what you would call godhood, then this thing has to be exposed, because the Mormons got a whole lot of members around the world, people, who's being misled by this darkness of teaching. So the believers of Christ has to make a stand to call out the evil. And here's the thing, we just are hiding as the ostrich. We're hiding with our head in the ground. Amen. And as I said before, you have some Christians who are afraid to stand, afraid to speak up. But here's the thing. Some of them that's afraid to speak up are some of the ones who are persecuting the ones that are speaking up. And it seemed like that many of them want everybody to stay silent. We don't talk about other churches. You know, that's what I hear. But see, this evil is great. Listen, I told you guys before, at one time, Joseph Smith was a humble man of God. He was. But people, he got off the mark. And he created in his pride what you know today as Mormonism. And Mormonism, 100, and if you can go over 100, go over 100% proof, is not the Church of Christ. Their doctrines are not of God. It's not of God. And too many Christians are just hiding while these people are spreading this ungodly stuff and claiming it to be of God. And you know the many souls they're coming across has not been reading the Bible and things of that nature. And so they become easy prey. They become easy prey. Now, I say unto you that's Christian that's listening, who have been going forth and spreading the word of truth and facing tests and tribulation, people turn against you, I want to encourage you, keep going forward. I know you saying that, well, man, some of my own brothers and sisters in Christ is jumping down my throat. Let them do it. Because they got to give account of their work. Because, once again, and I'm not encouraging people to be renegades. I'm talking about Christians. But we got to be willing to stand and speak the truth. And so the Christian that don't want to do nothing with his head in the sand, but he'll pull his head out for a minute to criticize the Christian that is speaking up, guess what? I hope you hear this. You're going to have to give account, and the blood of this generation is going to be on your hand. You're going to have to give an account of why you have a purpose in the Lord to do, and you sitting around not doing nothing. Now, some of you may take this of what I'm saying, like, boy, you just hard, or you trying to think bigger yourself. No, I'm not. It's, what I'm saying is this. If you look at the world today, and especially this nation, the big question will come is, where is the church? Where is the believers? You got all this stuff flying up and going around, and Jesus' servants, most of them ain't opening their mouth and saying nothing at all. You have a few that are, and the few that are, instead of the other Christians who ain't opening their mouth, at least supporting them, they is the one that's speaking against them. Oh, you too hard. Oh, that ain't love. Oh, this and that. Amen. That's what they're saying. That's what they're saying. Now, during Joseph Smith's time, when the Lord had started using him to start up the church, the restored church of Christ, before he fell into error, there was a brother during that time with him as the church first came about named David Whitmer. And David Whitmer wrote a book called An Address to All Believers in Christ. Now, I want to encourage you all to get that book, and you can call, once again, the information I gave you about the church, writing and calling, you can request that book as well. Okay, you can request that book as well. In fact, let me see, do I have the price on it here? Give me a second here as I look this up. Amen. Oh, yeah. The book is $3. It's called David Whitmer's Address. And so the information I gave you about getting directly Nephi in the Word of the Lord is the same that go if you want to order that book. But I want to encourage you all to order that book, because the Mormons, when you ask them about at least two or three of the guys that was with Joseph Smith, when the Lord first started dealing with Joseph Smith, even in translating the place that we know today as to be the record of the Nephi book, they don't too much like to talk about David Whitmer, Oliver Cowdery, and Martin Harris. Okay? They don't too much like to talk about, especially Oliver Cowdery, and I believe in David Whitmer. They don't too much, you know, have too much to say on them, because especially those men had stood up against Joseph Smith when Joseph Smith got in error. Okay? Because Joseph Smith, in his pride, he thought he was untouchable. And he's beginning to see people really worshiping him because of God using him. That's why I said, whenever God's using you, watch the big head. And watch people coming to you, oh, you so great. Oh, you said this and that. Can't nobody do it like you. You got to watch that. Because if you start drinking that which they offering you, you're going to get the big head. And Joseph Smith especially was getting the big head, that so many people kept running and coming to him. You know, I lifted him up as a God. So, hey, to them, it was just, you know, audacious for you to speak up and say, Joseph, that didn't come from God. Man, they didn't know how to handle it. They couldn't take that, okay? But anyhow, David Whitmer, like I said, wrote a book called An Address to All Believers in Christ. And one of the things he wrote about, remember I read to you one of their officers they got in the churches called high priests, okay? And I want to read somewhat from what David Whitmer had to say during the time that he was with Joseph Smith and them when the church was first started. And not only was he with Joseph Smith when Joseph was humble, but he was around and knew what was going on when Joseph Smith started changing, going into that state of pride. So I want to read to you from his book, page 78, An Address to All Believers in Christ, David Whitmer, Richmond, Missouri, 1887. Okay? Now listen to what he says here. He said, high priests were only in the church of Christ, was only in the church before Christ, and to have this office in the church of Christ is not according to the teachings of Christ and either of the sacred books. Christ himself is our priest, is our great and high and last priest. Christ himself is our great and last high priest. Brethren, I would tell you one thing which alone should settle this matter in your minds. It is this. You cannot find in the New Testament part of the Bible or the Book of Mormon, which we know today is the record of Nephi, where one single high priest was ever in the Church of Christ. The office of an elder is spoken of in many places, but not one word about a high priest being in the church. This alone should convince anyone and will convince anyone who is without prejudice that the office of high priest was established in the church almost 2 years after its beginning by men who had drifted into error. So 2 years after the church that Christ was starting with Joseph Smith, when he was humble, 2 years after that, they set an office in the church called the high priest. And David Whitmer said, and they was going into error. Okay? They were going to error. Because why? David Whitmer just told you. You can't find in the New Testament where the office of a high priest is existent, okay, to be among the body of Christ. He said, you must admit that the church, which was to be established in this dispensation, must be like unto the church which was taught by Christ's disciples of old. Then the church of Latter-day Saints is unlike the church of Christ of old, because you have the office of high priest in the church. Did you hear that? Did you hear that? See, the office of high priest, when you look in the New Testament, if you just went with the Bible alone and you look in the New Testament, you don't see no office of a high priest. You don't see nobody ordained to the office of a high priest. Not in the New Testament. Now, some of you said, well, you know, in the Old Testament, that's Old Testament is past. The high priest we know did the sacrifice for the people, okay? And you got to remember, the high priest in the Old Testament did the sacrifice for the people because the people did not have the Spirit of God dwelling in them. And so there had to be a atonement of the shedding of the blood of animals, which their blood only covered the sin and not took it away. And that's where the high priest came in to offer the sacrifice. But today, as a Christian, you don't need a high priest to go into, quote, the Holy of Holies temple and make a sacrifice for you. If you are born again, you have the Spirit of the living God within you, okay? You have it within you. Thank you, Jesus. He goes on to say, excuse me, the office of high priest, as you have it, is of more importance than the office of an elder. That's how they treat it, the Mormons do. He asks a question. He said, then why is not something said about the high priest in the church which Christ came on earth to establish at Jerusalem and upon this land? Good question. Good question. Since they want to elevate the office of a high priest so high, and the question David Whitmer asks is that, if that being said, that being so, why is it not spoken of in the New Testament? Why is it not spoken of by Christ when he came, when he was resurrected, or even why he walked this earth, or even through his disciples after his death, burial, resurrection? Why was not the office of a high priest spoken of? Because this is something that the Mormons in their church, and I'm going to call it exactly what it is, it's their church, it's not Christ's church. It's not Christ's church. When Jesus calls you, he's going to call you to a place of working him and a position that you can follow with Scripture. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Lord, help us. I pray that many of their eyes will be open. But I wanted to share this first part with you. And when I do it again, it'll be part two. We're going to look at more even from the Scriptures, because the title of this lesson is this setup of offices in Christ's church? that I read to you of high priests and 70s and presidents and all this stuff. And you will come and see that some of the offices they name, you can trace in the New Testament, but some of the others they name is not traced in the New Testament. And see, what that tells you is that in Mormonism, they take some truth and they mix it. See, some things they tell out is just straight out lie. And then there are other things that they take, like part of it being true, and they mix it with a lie. And they're just getting a lot, they're getting people on this. Because people's not searching, people. They're not looking up anything. They're not searching nothing. They're just going with the flow. Whatever's being told to them, whatever be said, they just accept it. And see, I thank God for the true people who really want to know the truth. Their eyes is going to be open in these last days. You're going to see more and more people come out of Mormonism, people. You're going to see that. Hallelujah. Thank God for the blessed word of the Lord. I thank God for all of you that's been listening to the broadcast. And I pray, Lord God, that you will bless them, Lord God, with the truth that they seek you for in the name of Jesus. We give you all the glory and honor and praise, and we thank you, Lord, for blessing us on this broadcast. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Glory be to God. Thank God for all you've been listening. Once again, this is part one of Is This Set Up for Offices in Christ Church? The next time on this series, we'll be doing part two. So once again, love y'all. This is Brother Nate with the Church of Christ Eliza Message on the broadcast entitled Jesus Word, the Midnight Cry Broadcast. May the Lord bless you. May he keep you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless.